The only change I would have, and it's not something I need to have, is that my name is Smith Spellberg.
Have to change spell checker.
Yeah. Put it in Galbraith into the spell checker.
I can do that.
Comes up. That's R-A-I-T-H. But that's a minor issue. So. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, old business. As long as we do have a quorum, let's go ahead and continue with the business here. And when Ann shows up, we'll have larger than a quorum. Old business, first item is townhome definition. Terry Randolph and Attorney Calder. And I assume that what we received today as an email attachment. I assume everybody has this?
Yes.
Okay. It is associated with this. Probably the best is to have either Terry or if you want to kind of introduce this. I assume this is something you wrote up?
Yes, sir, it is.
Maybe that's the best way to kind of get started on the discussion.
As you recall, the reason that we...
If I could just interrupt here, we do have agenda item number 2 here. So why don't we do that, and we'll have a better day forum for the...
So we need a mayor?
Excellent.
Square?
No, I don't need a mayor.
No, I don't think I'm getting square.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. There is a problem.
As always.
And it's not that... In order for the Board of Adjustments to make any kind of a ruling, they have to have 5 members.
Okay.
Is there 4 or 5?
Unless, pardon.
Is there 4 or 5 members?
No. Their quorum is 4, but they, in order for them to vote on an item, they have to have 5 members present. Now, the only caveat to this whole thing is that there's, John has a issue before the Board of Adjustment. And the thought was, and you can't be on both at the same time. As I understood it, Ann was going to remain on the Board of Adjustment until that issue was heard. But I don't know. Maybe it's changed since I...
As of this afternoon, I was informed that my official resignation as of March 17th was denied, so I didn't get it. So I'm not able to be sworn in, so I can participate on the Board of Adjustments.
Yes, ma'am. And I hate for this to come up and be a pain in the derriere, but...
It's bad enough that they got forced to take me.
No, I don't think so.
Exceptions to the rule.
Actually, I don't think so. There are 5, including Ann.
Okay.
Right, Tony will be sworn in, and that will make number 5. We were short one.
So what's the front? So if there's 5 within, and Tony's being sworn in at the meeting,
that includes Tony. Right.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move ahead because, again, I have to leave at 8:15, and if we're not going to have Ann sworn in, then we do have a quorum issue here as of 8:15. So what I would recommend is that we...
Now, I would like Ann to, she
can participate in the discussion, but she can't vote if
okay.
The constitution...
That's great.
All right. So that's certainly, so she's, that's perfectly fine, but obviously according to what, that she hasn't technically resigned, or hasn't been accepted, I guess,
It hasn't been accepted.
That was actually the case, yes.
To do things properly, because these things are, we are a
quasi-judicial
board, and we need to follow the rules. I'll go ahead and make a motion. I assume we have to make a motion that agenda item number 2 be postponed until next month.
Unless you call a special meeting after the BOA meeting then here's the issue before it.
I don't think we have anything pressing that we need a special meeting that, you know, we could have a swearing in prior to our next meeting, and that would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's okay with people?
I'll second that.
All right. So agenda item number two is tabled until next month. Okay, again, now, I am sorry I interrupted, but we have resolved that issue, so feel free to.
Thank you. As y'all recall, I'm sure that we're trying to address the problem with these two-unit condos, and it's a matter of semantics as much as anything, but we can't get financing, so people can't refinance their two-unit condos, and people can't sell their two-unit condos because they can't get financing on the two-unit condos because the lenders in the current world don't like two-unit condos. They have limits on investment, ownership, and the way they define, you know, primary and secondary by taking out any usage of it or rentals and stuff like that means that basically all these two-unit condo owners are stuck with their units. It also means that the banks, if they take them in foreclosure, can't sell them because nobody can get financing on them. And so what is a problem for Cary Randolph is a problem for the town of Cary Beach, because if you've got a lot of properties that cannot be sold because you cannot get financing on them, and if you can't get people to pay cash for them because they know they can't sell them later down the road, you've got a problem for everybody there. So this was devised with that in mind. And apparently the lenders like to earn some kind of dirt. So what we're designing is something where the buyers own some dirt. And we're doing like a box within a box. So you have subdivided the lot. And I've used a lot of the basis from the Carolina Beach has the ordinance that allow townhouses. And I used a lot of that. And I tried to read through all your other ordinances and make it fit with all of that. And so what it's basically done is it just defines single family attached development. Apparently that's what the lenders, the underwriters want to hear now, is single family attached. Single family, and you own some dirt there. And we talked about 2 to 4 units because of the 1/3 limitation on investment ownership. And so, but I said 2 to 4 because I think you have some 4 units that might have the same problem. I said that I defined in these definitions here what I thought would be relevant if somebody were looking at it. And so a single family attached is a 2 to 4 single family dwelling units constructed in a series or group of attached units with property lines on the ground separating the units from other units and from the common area. No unit shall be connected on more than 2 sides by common walls of the unit. So basically what you're talking about is 2, 3, or 4 units in a row. And it's designed for use by a single family, and specifically says that it was previously platted as a townhouse or a condo, we can convert it to single family residence. So we have built into the ordinance the ability to convert to these units that look exactly the same, but the lenders go, yeah, that's okay, we can live with this. One of the problems I had, it was easy with the vertically bounded units because they're side by side. That's easy to handle. The horizontally bounded units are a little bit difficult to handle, but I treated them basically the same way. You have a square within a square. The person owns that little square within the square. They're 1/2 the square within the square separately. And you just assign certain airspace to it, much like you do with the condo now. So the platting for a 2-unit side-by-side will look just like a townhouse plat. A square, then a square with a line down the middle. You own that dirt. The vertically bounded will look more like a condominium map. You'll have your little square within a square, but then you'll still have to have, like you have with the condominium now, where you have elevations and layouts, so you'll still have to, okay, this airspace is assigned to this piece of dirt. So that hopefully will cover both the situations where you've got the side-by-side condos and the up-and-down units, or three up-and-down, triplexes, whatever. I applied in almost all situations, like the acreage requirements, the minimum setbacks. I didn't try to set anything different. I just said that I'll use the same ones that are currently provided for in these ordinances. So the setbacks don't change at all. The establishment of the lots is kind of the heart of the matter about you're buying a lot now as opposed to a unit, and that means you own a little piece of dirt, and so I defined that in the vertically or the side-by-sides. The lot size is determined by the structure foundation, so the layout of the building, if you looked at it from above, like from a survey, what's below the structure is what sets the boundary of the lots. And then, of course, they're divided as the units are divided down the middle. So you've got that, that's the box in the box there. And then horizontally, kind of the same thing. The lot size is determined by the boundaries of the limited common area on the ground originally allocated to a particular unit that is located completely under the structure of the building. The lots may not extend beyond the perimeters of the structure, and the lots shall be located immediately beneath the structure. So again, it's the same thing. We've got these two lots surrounded by the common area, and these lots are what's individually owned, and we're assigning either the space directly above the lot to that one unit, or the space above the two lots by the way they're platted. I kind of invented that, so that's, you know, they had to figure out some way to do with it. They have airspace condominiums in other places. This kind of follows that general format there. And the applicable building codes, again, I didn't want to try and reinvent the wheel here, so I just said all the building codes applicable to the construction of the residential townhouses shall be applicable to the single-family attached dwellings. So that's what, you know, you already have everything in place for townhouses, so we just implement that by reference here. And conversion of other type units, such as previously constructed townhouses, to or condominiums to single-family attached, requires that applicable departments of the town to be provided adequate evidence that the unit was built to the building code applicable at the time of the construction for the construction of townhouses, and if no such applicable code existed, the unit was built to the building code applicable at the current time for construction of townhouses. And so we have. What code is to be applied, so you have a little bit of John's got guidance as to what code is to be applied if we have to go look at these units to see whether they can be converted or not. And I put in there that no less than all of the units in development be converted. I think that would really go without saying, because you're going to have to replat and redraft your covenants to fit the situation, basically. But I just thought I might make it expressed rather than implicit. Then I have the two sections 7 and 8 about conversion of the different types of units, and it recalls what it calls for the plats or plans conforming to, and I again pulled out the requirements of your current code. It must be reviewed and approved as required by Article 3, again under the code, Chapter 15, and the duly recorded plat shall be recorded in the registry prior to any conversion being effective, and prior to such recordation, the condominium regime shall be dissolved in accord with the North Carolina General Statutes, because you want to get rid of the condo, of course, before you create your new single-family attached. And then the same basic process with the conversion of the horizontally bounded, except the platting is a little bit different. I require that it accurately depict the layout, location, ceiling, and floor elevations. Like we talked about, it'll look more like a condo plat rather than a townhouse plat, so you can define what airspace is assigned to each lot. I made it express that the conversion of townhouses to single-family attached units is permissible. And then in the miscellaneous application of ordinances, it says that in the absence of other clearly applicable ordinances, codes, and regulations, those ordinance codes and regulations applicable to the platting and construction of townhouses shall apply. In the absence of those, then the ordinance and codes applicable to the plating and structure of plan due development shall apply. So trying to give a hierarchy of application of your current charter, current ordinances to this situation. And then the allowed housing types, that was just kind of what was in the Carolina Beach Code, that allowed housing types include single-family attached dwellings, also known as single-family attached units. That doesn't really add much to anything, but that's generally what I was trying to do, was come up with a system where you've got lots that doesn't subdivide the lot, and you have a piece of dirt that a lender can say, you own that lot, and this is what goes with it. And we'll end up the structure to convert the current existing non-conforming to the lender's underwriting guidelines to the new single-family attached. Did that put everybody to sleep?
Okay.
No.
are there any questions?
I got one question on the number six, where it says building codes applicable to time of construction. Is that going to be an issue, John, when we just start converting condos to townhouses to single family on some of these older buildings? Because it had to be up to code at the time the building was built. So if the building was built in 85 or 90, it had to be to the code of 1990.
Right.
And not today.
That's what he's saying, yeah.
Does that become an issue for
you? I don't think so.
As far as fire safety.
This is not construction, but is that legal? I think where you're coming from, like fire or something, if we now re-deed this property or something, does it have to come up to the current fire codes? And if for some reason we didn't force it to, 10 years later the house burns down and we should have, I don't know if there's any legal requirements that we have to update something like that.
Well, there's no construction.
There's no construction going on. That's why I got the question.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
If there was construction, I had no question.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it does, but.
Well, there's also another really practical one, too, is that if you're bringing up the standards of when it was built to a single family, do you know what those standards are?
Past standards, yeah.
Do you know those standards 25 years ago or 20 years ago?
I can get access to them, yes.
That would have to be included in the fee to, you know, to do this sort of thing, because you'd have to go back then, according to this, and see what the standards were for single family housing back in 1985, not that. Well, and that might be a little more difficult.
And I think that would help you as far as some of these houses that have been converted years ago that weren't two family. And, you know, the cousins came in and made them.
Mm-hmm. So there will have to be the separate water meters, separate pipes, electricity, everything we have.
Everything.
I would assume it would need to be up to our current standards, though.
That's the issue. I don't know if we need to or not.
But I think those issues were in place, though, even when they built, when they built the Ocean Dunes. I mean, they all have separate meters. They all have firewalls. I think that, as I'm thinking about it, I think the main concern would be the people who change their downstairs into a second livable unit.
That's correct.
And now they want to sell it. It's non-conforming. If they want to change it to a single, if they want to change it to this so that they can sell it, then they have to upgrade because they didn't comply with the code back in when they changed it.
Right.
So that does give the town the option to enforce that.
Like I said before, I mean, what I'm going to be requiring is a letter from an engineer and architect identifying whether or not it is or it was conforming to the code at the time of construction.
The only thing I'm aware of is either in a new construction to trigger the having to meet the building code or a change in use. And I don't know that this would qualify as a change in use, really, because a condominium, really, for its practical matter, is a single family unit. So, I mean, I would need to confirm that, but just from my experience dealing with the building code, that does not seem like the type of thing that would trigger having to come meet the brand new code.
From a real estate meeting that I attended today, the latest information is banks are not even loaning for condominiums at the moment, unless it's cash. And that just came from a major lender.
So it's still an issue.
But if you don't call it a condominium, you call it a single-family attached.
Right, that's kind of...
Semantics. I know that's crazy, but that's the lending world right now.
We
still have questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm trying to identify the kind of major issues. So one issue is when it's converted, does it convert to the standards of single-family housing when it was built or to the current standards? That seems to be one major issue. Any questions?
The vertically bounded units, you know, in 5A, you're trying to determine, I think, the lot size. But I thought if we had an issue here where we could have two conditions. One where a side-by-side was sitting on common property that was now deeded commonly as a, I forgot the word for it, as common to both the residences. The other is each resident may be sitting on its own lot. I don't know how that's deeded, but I guess if they could be. I don't know if this addresses that. I'm confused whether it's going to address the one where they're sitting on common property. Do they have to now convert it to two lots? That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, what my intention is, it says the lot size is determined by the structure foundation. So if you've got, this is the high-tech stuff here. Here's the structure foundation. So we've got
right.
The structure foundation there. And it says, so the lot size can't exceed that. So you all around here, you've got, this is common area.
And that'll have to stay common area?
That'll have to stay common area. You know, and then what happens is, inside the, inside here, inside the box, within the box thing,
right.
You've got lot one and lot two, and so people own that dirt right there and that dirt right there, but that's a common area all around it.
Right. Now, today, what if one unit was built on a single lot? Would they have to convert to this then to become a side-by-side? Do we have any like that? I don't know. Do we have side-by-side dwellings sitting on a single piece of property owned commonly? Not underneath, the stuff underneath, the ground underneath their house is common, not owned by the owner. Does that exist?
Just about every single one.
Yeah,
see, but then they got to convert to two separate lots.
That's
okay.
Right. That's what
and that's required. Acceptable. All right. I just want to make sure I understood it.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes, sir. I guess one question and one comment real quick. We had talked about the requirements in doing this, the requirements that the Homeowners Association would have to change and all the sort of things there. I noticed you didn't reference that here. Was that intentional or was that driven by something else in the ordinance that would require that?
Well, I think that if you... The situation we're really looking at is the two-unit condos and you already have your declaration of condominium, which are your covenants for the condos. And I do say that you have to, if you're converting a condominium, that you have to dissolve the condominium in accordance with North Carolina General Statutes, which would mean that you would remove the condominium from the condominium regime. And so the declaration would disappear and you'd do a new set of covenants. In the situation where it's so...
Well, okay, that's exactly the point right there. This requires a dissolution of the condominium,
right.
HOA, essentially.
Yes, sir.
But does it require the reestablishment of covenants? And I don't know if that's required, because what you're doing is you still have a common area. I mean, you still have a common area outside what's plotted right underneath the thing. And so the way this is written, you could dissolve it, but then you're not requiring anything new to happen.
Well, that's true. I assumed that, but did not make it explicit in the condos that nobody would buy or want to be in a situation of ownership like that, that we didn't have covenants for that. Like, you know, but we can make it express without any problem, but I just assumed that would be a natural part of the conversion process. And with the townhouses, you know, you can just basically do a slight modification. Townhouses probably almost already fit in there. It's really, is only hitting us in the condos, and I don't think anybody would, I wouldn't allow my clients to say, okay, we're not going to have covenants here. You all just have to fight it out every time you want to cut the yard, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. So,
but I would say that's a second issue. I mean, one is the standards. I'm just writing down the issues that need to be resolved, and then whether in the ordinance we would require that new covenants be established after the condominium regime is dissolved. The only other, we still have questions.
I still, back on the same point again. Now, what if, I don't know if we have this, do we have four units? Somebody could have, in past years, possibly have had two units down, two units up, sitting on a single property. How does it affect them if there's four units out there? Or aren't there any?
Well, as he expressed in here, if they were horizontal units like that, they still have a limited common area designated for each one of those units.
Yeah, okay, so it'd be four blocks now.
That's right, so you'd have four different little pieces of property within the, wow. the piece of property.
Okay. Yes?
This would probably be relevant to you since you have a unit at in Curry Dunes at the
Keys.
The Keys, yeah. Curry Keys, yeah.
Which is actually set up like this.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that. I didn't know what
the
that.
The Keys are actually there. They're called townhomes or townhouses.
Right. But
they're actually deeded property underneath the structure. But
right.
then it's common area among the whole Keys for everything. It's not just, you know, the individual tube unit. You know, but it's the whole HOA that has all the common areas. But directly under the Keys, Security Beach Keys, we have a deeded right to that particular property. Okay. So there's actually precedent for actually having this sort of thing here. And that's actually true for the four-unit complexes. I'm in the two-unit one over there, but there are four-unit ones that are set up exactly the same way.
One last question. I know this is probably covered in some ordinances somewhere else, but if I have two units side by side, somewhere it's got to be defined that they have a separated wall with nothing coming through those walls.
Right.
It didn't seem to stand out here, but there should be nothing. It's probably covered in another code that he references.
What's in the building code?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Whether or not things being here.
I don't know. I just brought it up. If it's covered in the building code, we're okay.
Well, that's what I was trying to do, was incorporate the building code in here, so.
Are there any comments from Holt or John?
One comment that just occurs to me as a kind of a logistical, practical matter is, I don't know if you could put some kind of provisional approval in place, because it seems like the one scenario you want to avoid is you dissolve a condominium and it's covenants, and for some reason it doesn't get approved as a single family, then you've got a property in limbo. So I don't know exactly how you could orchestrate that, but I think you'd want to know that it was going to get approved before you could take it apart, you know. So that's one thought. And the other one that Barry has raised, that I think it's more of a practical consideration maybe than legal, but if virtually or all of the units are actually the vertically bound units, it does seem like the horizontally bound is a little more complex, and going further down the road, this uncharted territory, that it may be wise to maybe just start with the vertically bound and see how that goes, and then, you know, look at the horizontally as a second step. But that's really just more of a judgment call. I don't see, nothing jumped out at me as being a problem with any of this, but that might be a sound pro.
We have quite a few horizontal.
I can only think of three.
I thought a lot of the ones Plantation built, those little narrow ones, were top and bottom, like four of them.
They built one on, just named Montebury a little while ago. There's one on the corner of 3rd and K. There's one on Dow Avenue, I believe. And then there's the three that Senko built right on the ocean frontage where it trades.
See, I thought the ones that Plantation did before Boom.
Some of them were.
The one on 3rd and K is a two units and up and down.
That's correct.
Because they're real narrow. I mean, they're real narrow. I can't imagine those being side by side because they were little shoeboxes.
That's only five that I can remember right off the top of my head. Plantation definitely did do the one on Third K, though.
I think they did quite a few.
They might, there's probably more, yes, but I can say.
Okay, any comments? I think this is a good idea. I think, you know, we should try to do anything to facilitate the saleability of units. That's always an economic benefit, to not have things sit around and stuff like that. I think we've identified three important issues that need to be adjusted or thought about. You know, the idea of the standards, whether it's old or current standards, you know, whether there should be a requirement that new covenants be put in place when the HOA condo is dissolved, and then the issue of provisional approval. I have to admit, the more I thought about that, I thought it was very clever, the discussion we had last time about horizontally bounded units, about the parking structure. But the more I think about it, and I agree with Holt, but I mean, perhaps more strong feeling that's really pushing the idea of what we're trying to achieve here. You know, I mean, to have horizontally bounded units and then try to identify a single
piece of land
that are horizontal, that's kind of pushing the issue. And I'm glad to hear there's only maybe five structures that might be, because I would probably not recommend that one. Those are my basic comments. I think it's a good idea to push ahead with something like this. Comments? Any more comments?
I think we can work on the horizontal later, but that helps become an issue.
Wait till the next hurricane, and it'll become vertical. Is there a motion? There is some tweaking. I'm not sure if we need to, try to do the fine-tuning, the wording right now, or whether we want to assign it to somebody to do the fine-tuning to consider the issues that we've talked about. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Well, basically, we're going to eliminate the horizontal, right?
That would be my suggestion right now. Just eliminate the horizontal, which would be 2D, 5B, and 8.
But then as far as the construction standards that I've raised, that really doesn't become an issue. That only becomes an issue if it's a non-conforming. If it was built non-conforming. That's really, because you, isn't that correct? You said that probably is not an issue.
I would want to follow up and confirm that, but I think so.
Okay. Well, there's a legal issue, but there's also what do we want? I think it's sufficient, because right now it's suggesting that if it's converted, when you look at 6, it says provide adequate evidence that the unit was built to the building code applicable, for a single-family attached dwelling at the time of construction. Do we want, as the town of Kiri Beach, not to go back and say it was satisfied single-family construction requirements back in 1985, or do we want to say, if you're going to convert it, it's got to be satisfied as of today? I mean, there's this legal issue that Holt talked about whether it creates a new use, then it would be required. But do we, as a town, want to say, if you're going to convert these things, it's got to be to the standards of today.
That's the reason why I brought it up, because there's usually a reason for that. The new standards provide usually some safety, something. That's why we got a new standard. And why would you, if someone's coming up and saying, I want to reapply now for a different use of my property, say that, well, they should meet the new current standards then?
Well, it's not really a different use, though. They're not adding another living space. They're not adding another kitchen. That space. It's the same building. It's just
calling something.
Just calling something.
Okay, probably 85. Is a bad example. But let's say they didn't require smoke detectors in 85, and I would feel bad if I let a house go by without saying you should have smoke detectors, and this is a way of forcing it. That's just again, it's a way of forcing something to come forward that is a safety issue that should have been done anyways.
Well, I don't think the only real issue that there will be is the firewall, the party wall, the separation wall, whatever you want to call it. There's two differences. In condos, you're only required to have a one-hour wall in between both units. In a townhouse, you're supposed to have 2 hours.
But has that changed in 20 or 30 years?
Since I've been messing with the code, And the earliest code I've really been messing with was the edition of 2000, and it's been the same ever since. I've looked as far as 1995, and it was the same, pretty much. I do not think there's any requirements that were different as far as smoke detectors. It's been around for years. Anyway, the second point that I was going to make, all the ones that have been built in the last 5 years, I would venture to say 85-90% of the duplexes that have been built in the last 5 years were built to townhome standards, meaning they did have a two-hour firewall in them, but they could not be classified as townhomes and were classified as condos.
Sure. What about hurricane standards? Have those changed any?
Oh, sure. It's huge.
Huge change.
I don't know whether that would be any consideration or not.
I just don't. I mean, we're basically doing this for lending purposes. I mean, it's not changing the use of that building. So to make people
or the livability.
Well, the livability. So to make people retrofit their buildings.